Burt, Byron McCollum, and Ron Turnbow to serve as elders or shepherds of our congregation. The order of our ordination service will be as follows. I will ordain them. Each elder will then speak. Zach will lead us in a prayer, and then I will extend the invitation. There is no more important decision a church makes than who it selects to be its elders. And I thank the congregation for its participation in this decision. The choices you have made are a reflection of the qualifications given by the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Therefore, as Paul notes in Acts 20, verse 28, it is the Holy Spirit who has chosen these men to serve as our elders. May God bless this church with peace, with joy, and with numerical and spiritual growth as it sees the fulfillment of a desire that it has had since two groups came together as one almost 2 years ago. To be organized with elders as God's word has directed. And we look forward to the day coming soon when we complete that organizational process with the appointment of deacons. To the four men selected to be our elders, I charge you from the pages of Holy Writ issued before these witnesses. From the Apostle Paul, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And Paul adds, watch. And from Peter, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And as Paul did long ago to the Ephesian elders, so now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And I share with you Peter's promise to all faithful elders, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Dear brothers, this church has selected you, and now I ordain you from this point forward to be our shepherds. Teach us. Exemplify discipleship to us. Guide us. Protect us. Serve us. Serve with faith. Serve with wisdom and understanding. Serve with diligence. Serve with gentleness and compassion. Serve with humility, and serve with love. Devote your lives to helping us get to heaven. May God richly bless you in your faithful service to him and to this church.
As a congregation, we set about an elder selection process early in the summer, and as fall is now upon us, we've completed this process, and I stand before you today feeling very humble to have the opportunity to serve the congregation, the Lord's people that meet here at Twin Creeks. At the beginning of the process, I didn't expect to be standing here today, and I appreciate the words of encouragement that I received from several members over the summer. I appreciate those that reached out to discuss qualifications. It's caused me to reflect harder on the need to ensure that my children remain faithful, and to the extent that some of them are currently struggling, to reach out and help them in their journey of faith. My desire is to bring honor and glory to God, and whether it's serving as an elder or any other capacity at this location, I want to bring glory and honor to God. In other words, my commitment to this congregation remains the same. It's the title. It doesn't change how I feel, the love that I have for the brethren here. There have been a lot of changes for the membership over the past 3 years, for those that were formerly with West Allen, for those over the past 2 years that were formerly Spring Creek. But we've come together and are stronger as one, united in our desire to serve the Lord. As a congregation, as expressed by John in John chapter 13, I'll strive to have a love that Jesus expressed when speaking to the disciples just before his betrayal. He said in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Said another way, this isn't just a light love, a passion, but a deep, abiding love where one is willing to give their life. And as Jesus says in verse 35, people of the community will know that we are disciples of Christ if we have love one for another. And I would encourage you to deepen that love that you have for your brethren here at Twin Creeks as we go forward, that we can be, as Peter describes in 1 Peter 2 and 9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a royal nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I've said it before, and I'll never tire of saying it, that I want to thank my wife and my children for their support. I was baptized into the Lord a little over 30 years ago, this past spring, and during this time, Diana has provided me with a strong example and what it is to be a Christian, and has been very instrumental in the raising of our three children in the grace and mercy of our God. And I appreciate the opening prayer this morning on behalf of the elders, and it's my continual prayer that, in my hope, that as Don, Byron, Ron, and myself, that we'll be able to work in unity of spirit and serve this congregation in a faithful manner as servants to all the members of the body of Christ at this location, and thus bring glory to God through our service. And I'd solicit your continued prayers on my behalf, on behalf of the eldership, and on my family's behalf. Thank you. Don.
Good morning. First of all, I want to say I love you. And after talking to these three men, we all love you, and we are here for you, and we care for your souls. I would like to join Joe in thanking you for honoring me to serve as an elder for this congregation. Nothing means more to me than this privilege you have bestowed upon me to serve you. There are some things I would like to share with you on what I believe being an elder and being part of an eldership, what it means to me. The first thing that I want you to understand is that we will have your best interest at heart. The soul is the most precious thing in the sight of God, and I as an elder and we as an eldership will not take that lightly. We want to go to heaven, and we want you to go to heaven as well. And we commit to doing all we can to help you get there. I also want you to understand that we want to strive for unity. Getting close to one another, or brotherly love, is vital and the key to being of one mind in God. The Corinthian brethren had a problem with unity, and my job as an elder and our job as an eldership is to ensure we don't repeat history. We need to always continue in love for one another and unity of spirit. And lastly, I really want you to take this to heart. I as an elder and we as an eldership wants you to feel that you can come to us. That is very important in staying strong and staying as one. Remember that we are always here for you. Please come to us in times of need, in times of pain, in times of joy. We are here for you, to pray for you, and to help in any way that we can. Let me just say I have the utmost love and respect for Joe, for Byron, for Ron, and I'm looking forward to learning from them. I am also looking forward to participating with them on decisions concerning the needs of this church. I feel we have unique personalities that will blend well with one another and help direct this congregation in the path of righteousness and brotherly love. Our goal is to get to heaven and to help you do the same. I solicit your prayers on my behalf as well as on my family and my fellow shepherds. And I too want to thank Melissa. She was the key in raising our children. She was always there for them. And she has been an encouragement to me, and I really appreciate all of that. So in closing, may God be with us all, and please pray for us again.
Likewise, I appreciate the confidence and the trust that you've placed in me to serve our family here as an elder. Oftentimes I've wondered, how old do you need to be an elder? I didn't come up with a good answer. I find now that I'm old enough to call everybody by their first name, but I'm too old to remember what it is sometimes. So if I say good morning, sir, or ma'am, it may be a sign of respect. It's always a sign of respect, but it may be because I've temporarily forgotten your name. You know, I'll remember it an hour or so later. But as has been in our scripture reading, and as Don pointed out, and Jerry, we're all servants of the Lord. Whether or not we serve with an official title, we're all called to be servants. That's our common goal. What brings us together, what makes us a family. And we all fall short of what the Lord's called us to be, especially myself. I question not whether or not I'm worthy to serve as an elder. I pray to the Lord daily to forgive my shortcomings. I pray that for my family, both my personal family and our family here at Twin Creeks. We need to remember that we are a family. You'll find that I'm a person of few words, but I'm a real good listener. So feel free to come and talk to me. Feel free to come and talk to any of us. That's our job, and we want you to be comfortable in doing that. As a group, we'll be called on to make decisions. Some of those decisions will be on doctrinal matters. Some of it will be on tradition or preferences. Some people will like some of the decisions and others will not. I pray when this happens, we'll remember that we have a common goal, and that's to be this faithful servant and to help each other make it to heaven. And I also pray that we can serve together in peace and in harmony and strive to help each other to meet this common goal of making it to heaven. I pray that the Lord will give us years to serve the church here. My wife has been my nurse over the last year or two that I've been fighting cancer. You know, there's times I wouldn't have made it, you know, without her help. We don't know if we've got a day or decades to serve the Lord, but I pray that you'll help me make it to heaven by joining me in this common goal of serving our Lord, being faithful to the Lord, and to live with Him eternally. Ron?
Let me begin with a hearty amen to the things that my brethren have just said. I also want to thank you for the confidence that you have placed in me, as well as these other men, to step into this role and for me personally to be here with you as we grow close to one another and as we draw near unto the Lord over these past few years. As noted in the the outstanding lessons by Zach and Jerry over the course of the summer and this appointment process, we should not take the responsibilities of this role lightly. It is a role that our Lord established, and it's a role that has the responsibility to defend, to pray for, and to feed this local congregation. It is a role of service. Most of us have seen, and some of us have personally experienced, the challenges associated with serving in this role. The mountains to climb and the tears to shed. I look forward to serving alongside Joe, Don, and Byron to guide, protect, and defend this church, this beautiful church, this bride of Christ, as we move forward. As taught in the New Testament, elders are responsible for protecting and defending the local body. Jerry referenced Acts, the 20th chapter, in verse 28. Here, Paul instructed those elders from Ephesus with a sacred and difficult chore. He said to take heed to yourselves and the flock to which you have been made overseers, to watch over it and to guard it against savage wolves. Those savage wolves, my friends, are that of foreign doctrines and those who would seek to teach that. It is over the destructive influences of the world and even dangers from within. Elders are to lead the way in this defense, and this is not always an easy work. So today I give you my word that I will stand for the truth, to defend it and never compromise on it. And the reason is quite simple. And that is, I will be held personally accountable whenever I stand before the Lord when my life is over and give an account for such. Elders are divinely guided to tend to the needs of the church. Clearly, this involves matters pertaining to doctrine, but it also includes leadership over non-doctrinal matters. As have been said by my beloved brethren, unity is essential among those who are serving as elders and then for the flock as a whole. When such unity is broken, the church suffers and the cause of the Lord is hindered and in some cases destroyed. Therefore, you have my word that I will work and serve with the other three men selected by this congregation. And brethren, I strongly, strongly believe in the strength of this group of men to lead this congregation to wise and good decisions. And as I told the other three men just the other day, I count it a privilege to serve with them in this role. In closing, I too would like to express my deep, deep love for my family and my wife. She has stood by me in fun times and wonderful times and in some of the darkest of times. Words alone cannot express how much that means to a man. So, Angie, I thank you. As we embrace the future, I too solicit your prayers for myself and for the elders of this church, for Joe and Don, Byron, and me, that we will lead this flock in the paths of righteousness. And please keep our families in your prayers as well. The sacrifice that they make is not to be discounted. It's an important sacrifice, and it's one that I believe for all four of us and our, in the service that we're providing, that it's willingly made. So thank you to our families. May the Lord be glorified. May the Lord be praised. May the Lord be honored in all that we do. And amen.
I was tasked with a prayer, not a sermon, so I'll keep my comments short. It sure is good to be in a congregation with elders. Me and MK, when we moved here, not quite a year ago, we hadn't been a part of a church with elders for quite some time, so it's an emotional and wonderful thought to know that someone is watching out for me and for my soul, and I hope that you all appreciate it. I know that you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with joy and praise and thankfulness in our hearts. Joy because you've loved us as a church and you died for us to make us your bride. With praise for your wisdom, that you structured the church in a way that would protect us as a husband protects his wife. That you sought fit in your wisdom to give the church structure and a group of shepherds. And that you asked us to appoint shepherds in every place because your will is for your children, your sheep, your flock, to have a shepherd. We know you are our chief shepherd. But as we submit to these men who have been appointed as elders today, we pray that you'll give us a spirit of thankfulness and respect, and that we would understand the difficulties of being a servant, making oneself vulnerable and accountable. For the souls of this congregation, we know that these men cannot control our actions and that we're all responsible for our own souls, but they're responsible for looking after us. And so help us as we submit to them to be thankful for that, not to see it as a bad thing, but to understand that it is your wisdom and your joy, your plan for us, and that we would count it a joy to have men who are willing to serve us and help us, as it's been emphasized today, get to heaven. We pray that our worship to you today, yes, is about appointing elders, but that it would be about doing things your way according to your will. And we're thankful for your Holy Spirit, which has guided this process, which has given us the qualifications, which has shown us how to conduct ourselves in the church, so that we would know how to live in life and that we'd have a family, a support group. We know that this world is becoming increasingly dark, and as these men endeavor to lead us, guide us, we pray that we'd have the wisdom to follow them. They've been appointed for a reason, because they meet the qualifications, because they have wisdom and the ability to point us to your word, to point us to your way. And we pray that we'd always at this place, at this church, search for your way. And we'd seek to glorify you in all that we do, and that we would long to be in heaven with you. We pray that the direction of this flock will be directed accordingly, and that these men, you'd give them strength for the difficult and hard task. That in an increasingly dark world, it is hard for us sometimes to stick together and to stay on the straight and narrow. We pray that we would all follow their lead, and that they would lead in a correct and good way according to your will. We pray that we would always have a focus on you, and that we would always strive to worship you with a true heart, and that we would all genuinely share in this goal, that we would all long to get to heaven and hope that we'd all get to heaven together. We pray that our focus will be on spiritual things, and that today we've made a step closer towards doing things your way and achieving that goal. We pray your blessings on this congregation. Help us always. May we praise you always, be thankful. And may we always love you with all of our hearts. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Having elders is a wonderful thing, and I am terribly excited that this congregation is now organized with elders, as the New Testament makes clear is the Lord's desire. Elders can do a lot of things to help this congregation as a unified body to be and do what God would have this congregation to be and to do, and to help each individual to be and do what God would have each individual to be and do. Let me caution you that there are several things elders cannot do. And I want to give you three things this morning to take home with you that elders cannot do. Number one, elders cannot do everything that needs to be done in a local congregation. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about the gifts that were given in the Lord's church that have to do with leadership. And I want you to notice that in verse 11, pastors or elders or shepherds are part of that gift giving. He says he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And he notes in verse 12 why he gave those positions, why he gave those works, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says we have elders for the same reason that we have preachers, same reason that we have others who lead in congregations, and that is to equip the saints to minister or to serve. Elders can equip the whole church to minister. But elders cannot replace the whole church in its responsibility to minister to one another. Having elders does not negate the truth of verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Having elders should encourage you to greater responsibility in helping the church function as God would have it to do. Elders cannot do everything that needs to be done in the church. The second thing that elders cannot do, elders cannot make you separate yourself from the Lord and His people. Turning over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, toward the end of that chapter, beginning at verse 35, the Apostle Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This passage is not affirming the impossibility of apostasy, or once saved, always saved. But it is affirming the security of the faithful believer in Christ. There is assurance in these verses. That assurance is that no one, mother, father, sibling, child, fellow Christian, friend, enemy, Bible class teacher, elder, no one can force the destruction of your faith and separate you from the joy of salvation and the hope of heaven. But when it gives us that assurance, it is also giving us a warning. And that warning is the same. No one, mother, father, sibling, child, fellow Christian, friend, enemy, Bible class teacher, preacher, elder, no one can force the destruction of your faith and separate you from the joy of salvation and the hope of heaven. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God." That was true yesterday, and it is true today. Before we had elders, and now that we have elders, you are responsible for you. Elders can help, but elders cannot do it for you. No elder can make you go to heaven. No elder can make you miss heaven. That is your choice today, just as it was your choice yesterday. And the third thing that elders cannot do, elders cannot be saved for you. Elders cannot have faith in Jesus for you. John 8 and verse 24 puts the charge of having faith in each individual. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Elders cannot obey the gospel for you. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." The elders can't be baptized for you. You have to make that decision yourself. The elders can't repent for you. That is something that you must do for yourself. And thirdly, elders cannot be faithful until death for you. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, Jesus says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And He makes that individual in verse 11 when He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear." If you've got an ear, you have a responsibility to heed what Jesus said in that passage, to be faithful to Jesus unto death. So a lot is changing for this congregation today. But at the same time, a lot stays just exactly the same. The truth of the gospel stays exactly the same. The need for your own personal faith and obedience stays exactly the same. The invitation of God through Christ for salvation stays exactly the same. The question this morning is, as we extend this invitation, will you stay exactly the same? If you're a faithful Christian, it is my prayer that you will stay exactly the same, that you will put to heart the words there of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, nothing will separate you from the love of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But if you're not a Christian, if you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you've not expressed faith in Jesus, if you've not yet repented of your sins, if you've not been baptized to have your sins washed away in His precious blood, it is my prayer that in the next few minutes, your life will change. Nothing else may change, but that your life changes. Can we help you to change your life this morning? There's no better time for you to express your faith in Jesus, for you to repent of your sins, for you to be baptized into Jesus Christ than right now. And so we extend to you the invitation of Jesus right now. Can we help you in your service to God in any way? If we can, let us know how we can by coming forward right now while together we stand and sing.